This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
As you may have realized, I watch a lot of sports. That's why I like Prime Video. It has all my sports in one app, like the National Women's Soccer League, included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on, or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. Prime Video. It's all your favorite sports in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/Amazon Prime for details.
It is getting that time of the year. It's Miller time. You don't need a watch or a clock to tell you. It's Miller time. Weather gets a little bit warmer. All of a sudden, the beer gets a little colder.
It's beer cracking season.
Whoa, okay. I don't know if it says that on the calendar. Miller Lite, great taste, less filling, tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Patrick, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. And as always, please celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer. Miller Lite.
You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
I think we settle on a poll question. Which quarterback is more likely to be with a new team? Russell Wilson, Kirk D. Cousins, or Justin Fields? That's what we're going with, first hour, Seton?
Correctamundo.
Okay. Any updates, early returns yet on this poll question?
I think that this is a little recency bias, not really. But right now, 56% of the audience have Russell Wilson. Kirk Cousins staying right where he is, though.
Yeah, I believe so. I think the Vikings are going to say, hey, we want you back. Here's your deal. And that Kirk, who's made a lot of money in his career, will say, all right, I'll stay here. Yes, Pauline.
Plus, you know, Kirk, he doesn't want to pull his kids out of school.
No,
grow, you know.
He can't do that.
Can't do that.
Yeah, can't do that. Chris Mannix, Sports Illustrated. They're a senior NBA writer back on the program. Always great to see you, Chris. Let me start with the All-Star game. Is there any fallout from how bad that basketball was? That is there anything you could do, or the commissioner or the Players Association are going to say, you know what, let's make this something a little bit more appealing?
I think there will be attempts, Dan, next season to modify the game once again. I think something that's on the table right now is a USA versus the world type of game, which would be kind of the latest, you know, incarnation of what this game has been. I think there's been, and there will continue to be, conversations about upping the financial incentive to winners of this game. We saw that work to some effect with making the in-season tournaments a little bit more competitive. I think the NBA's going to try that. But when I think of the All-Star game, Dan, I'm reminded of something that the great Larry Merchant, who covered boxing so many years for HBO, once said about boxing, and that's you can't save it and you can't kill it. And that's kind of how I feel about the All-Star game. I don't think it's going to get appreciably better because today's NBA players simply don't care about it, and it's never going to go away because regardless of what people like you and me think about it, it's still going to draw between 5 and 7 million viewers every single year, which would be the equivalent of the highest rated regular season game that the NBA has.
I suggested yesterday, just offhand, how about the first team to 200? So there is some kind of incentive, or that, you know, you get to 200, you win the game.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of similar to what they did with the Elam ending, right?
Yeah.
Where they, you know, put a score up there and said, whoever gets that score first wins, which is great at the end of games, but doesn't do a heck of a lot making it more interesting in the very beginning. I think what made this past All-Star game so much worse is that in years past, it's been that bad. You know, it hasn't been 200 points for one team, record scoring bad, but it's been a bad game. It's been salvaged to a certain degree by the fact that the last few minutes were competitive, that you had guys for at least 5 minutes during that game competing like it was an actual game. This game didn't have that because it was out of hand, you know, really by the start of the second half, and there was no competitive fourth quarter. So all the NBA can hope for, I think, moving forward is that the game stays close enough that we get some of those moments down the stretch where we had, a year ago when it was Jason Tatum versus Jaylen Brown who were on opposite teams. You know, maybe you get Luka, you know, versus Giannis on opposite teams. I think that's the best the NBA can hope for at the All-Star game.
And I would love, you know, the rest of the world versus the United States, but let's say I did that this year. Who are you taking? If I give you the world or you take the players from the United States?
I don't know, Dan. Like, one of the conversations I've had with league people about that is, while, you know, there's a natural inclination to believe that that would make the game more competitive, right? Like, if you're competing for your country and you're competing for the world, yep, it has sort of an Olympic-style vibe to it. The problem is, the two guys that were the most indifferent to the All-Star game were Nikola Jokic and Luka Doncic. Like, they could not have cared less about the outcome of that game. You know, Jokic was just there trying to do windmills at the end. Luka took a 75-footer in the second quarter. He went for a 2-for-1 at the end of the second quarter from 75 feet away. These are not guys that are acting serious about that game. And I'm not criticizing them for it. You know, if I'm Luka and I'm Jokic and I just want to relax over All-Star weekend, that's kind of how I would treat it. But I don't think getting, you know, the best of Europe and Asia together on one team is going to suddenly get the motivational and competitive juices of Luka and Nikola Jokic.
Yeah, but it can't hurt, okay? So I think you have to look at these and say, all right, I think that they would play harder because they are, it's us against the NBA, you know, the United States. So you would get Canada, and then you would get the rest of the world, and I would take the rest of the world versus players from born in America.
Yeah, in a vacuum, yes, I would probably do that. And I think it could create some interesting storylines going into the game and some fun narratives. But Dan, I've never known you to be this kind of wide-eyed optimist to think that it would suddenly make these guys care about the outcome of the game. I think the only thing that would make these guys care is if, like, you know, some gambling outfit came in and offered, you know, $3 million for a player for the winner.
Yeah, but fans,
that, I'm not sure.
Fans would hate that. That we have to incentivize you for playing in an All-Star game. No.
Dan, which brings me back to the original point. Right. You can't kill it and you can't save it. It's going to be exactly what it's going to be.
LeBron said that, hey, let's let Bronny be a kid and back off here. But he did say at one point, what, a month ago, that Bronny could play for the Lakers right now. And then I started to wonder about that comment by LeBron. Was he hyping his son, or was he saying to Laker management, this is how bad we are? I'm trying to figure out, because you know how passive-aggressive LeBron is, but now he's saying, hey, maybe he hadn't lived up to your expectations and the mock drafts. Let's just let him be a kid. But LeBron has hyped his own son right before our very eyes.
I think it's a little bit of both, that, you know, off-the-cuff comment about how Bronny could play in the NBA right now. When it was said at the time, the Lakers were still going through a process where they weren't very good, and there were opportunities for that team to get better via trade. And we know that LeBron's done that often. He did that with the Hourglass, you know, tweet, you know, just before the trade deadline. He is constantly putting pressure on the front offices of the teams that he plays for. The problem I have with LeBron posting about everybody should kind of back off Bronny and let the kid play is to your point, he's the one that has made the media interest ratchet up to an all-time level. Dan, I'm out in LA a lot now. I've been to half a dozen USC games. I've written about Bronny, you know, three or four times already, and will continue to over the rest of this college basketball season. I'm only doing that because LeBron has put it out there that, you know, not only does he believe Bronny can play in the NBA, but he has put it out there that he wants to play with him. Yeah. So the landscape of the NBA could shift seismically if we're to believe what LeBron said, what was it, a year or so ago, that he wants to play with Bronny. So, for example, if a team like the New York Knicks is in the back half of the first round this year and says, you know what? We've got enough young talent. We've got great depth. Screw it. Let's just use our first round draft pick, draft Bronny James, and see what that means when it comes to LeBron and him wanting to play with his son. That's the reason the interest is ratcheted up to the level that it is, because LeBron has created that interest. So I think it's disingenuous to be critical of the mock drafters and the reporters that are watching Bronny's every move, because the reality is that LeBron put that spotlight on him by tying his own future to him.
And when I saw the mock drafts, you know, here's Bronny coming back from the heart condition, and he needs a full year and needs to come back. I think people are afraid to say the obvious is Bronny is not an NBA player. He's not even close to it right now. He's, you know, third or fourth best player on his own team here. Is he, by all appearances, a good kid? You know, he knows the game. He, you know, sees the court, can pass, plays defense. But he needs to stay another year. I think when the mock drafts put him in, because then you get more clicks. If you look at these mock drafts, Chris, and I know you have, most of the players are from Europe. Mm-hmm. The top 10 players, you might get a player out of Kentucky or you might get a player out of Colorado, and everybody else is from overseas here. Put Bronny in a mock draft and all of a sudden you care. You don't care about some guy from Perth who is French and he could go second overall. And I think that I think my feeling is mock drafters putting Bronny in did a disservice to him because he is not an NBA player, certainly right now.
I think that's there's truth to that because, you know, last year you could do mock drafts and generate interest because it was the Victor Wembanyama year. Yeah. And the fascination with him was incredible. This year, I don't think that mock drafters are necessarily throwing him in there because it will generate more web traffic. That's definitely a byproduct of it. But they're doing what I'm doing and talking to a lot of college scouts and asking every single day, is this kid getting better? What is his draft potential? If he was on the board when you drafted, say, in the second round, would you take a flyer on him? Dan, I agree with you. I am not a draft Nick, but I've seen a lot of Bronny this year. Mm-hmm. As of right now, he is not an NBA player. I think he has the potential to become one because I do think he has elite defensive skills. And I think he is a pretty good playmaker who, if given more time, can develop a more consistent three-point shot. But he is probably a full year away from developing that shot. And quite frankly, Dan, he should be. He had a near cardiac event. He had a cardiac event near death over the summer. It took him 4 months to get back on the basketball court. He was on a minutes restriction really throughout the month of January. So it's not unusual at all that he is slowly developing in his first year. The best thing he could possibly do, I think, it's been made easier because he can make a lot of money staying in college now, is to stay in school, keep developing, and then going into next year, let's see where he is. Because I do believe that he can develop into a first-round pick with one more year of seasoning.
Yeah, I get it. And, you know, I understand it. But LeBron put a spotlight or, you know, a brighter spotlight on his son and didn't let him just be a kid when you mentioned he could play for the Lakers. Before I let you go, at what point will we buy into the Clippers being legitimate?
I think we have to already be there. They've had a little bit of a blip since the All-Star break with their defense, but I'm not overly concerned with that. I was talking to some Clippers people actually over the weekend about, you know, what makes them a little bit different this year. And the obvious answer is health, right? I mean, Kawhi and Paul George missed a bunch of time last year. They haven't this season. A lot of talk about the MVP conversation right now. I think Kawhi should be squarely in it and be more in the conversation because of how he's played and how good that team has been since a slow start. But the real reason, Dan, that we should take this team more seriously is James Harden. I mean, that's the reality of it. I had questions about James Harden coming into this situation with the Clippers. I thought he might be a little bit too me first going into a really important contract year. He has been the opposite of that. He has been a facilitator from day one. He's taken a lot of pressure off of Kawhi and off of Paul George, allowing them to just be finishers and not have to worry about you know, playmaking and being an assist guy, you know, during games this season. There was a great stat somebody brought to my attention over there. He has made the Clippers the ultimate closers, right? And this was as recently as a couple of games ago, but they were 31-1 in games that they led going into the fourth quarter. And that they attribute a lot of to James Harden, his ability to take over games with his playmaking and later on down the stretch with his shot. He has had just an overwhelmingly positive impact on the Clippers. And I think that's raised them to a level they haven't been in years past. Because, Dan, they have been searching for years for a point guard. How many point guards have they cycled through over the last 5 years? They brought in Rajon Rondo. They brought in John Wall. They brought in Russell Westbrook. They have been looking for somebody to claim this position. James Harden's done that, and he's made them so much better.
Yeah, I go back to Pooh Richardson. You know, they've been looking for it. Great to talk to you again, bud.
You got it, Dan.
Thank you, Chris. That's Chris Mannix, senior NBA writer for Sports Illustrated. Take a break.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Hey, I'm Doug Gottlieb. The podcast is called All Ball. We usually talk all basketball all the time, but it's more about the stories about what made these people love their sport and all the interesting interactions along the way. We talk to coaches. We talk to players. We tell you stories. You download it. You listen to it. I think you'll like it. Listen to All Ball with Doug Gottlieb on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
NBA fans, listen up. You got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is really simple. Select a player who will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for big cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using the promo code DPSHOW. And take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with the promo code DPSHOW. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date list of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime. With tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
If you do the quick math, the less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your products or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep, which is obvious. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. So reduce your cost. Reduce the headaches. Smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math and see how you'll profit with NetSuite. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial, management, inventory, HR onto one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud, so there's no hardware required. And you can access from anywhere. So you cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. And you're improving efficiency by bringing all your major business processes onto one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Right now, backed by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. So head to netsuite.com/Patrick. netsuite.com/Patrick. John Ross, Chris Johnson, Dre Archer, Jerome Mathis, Tariq Woolen, Marquise Goodwin, Tyrone Calico, Stanford Rout, Jalen Myrick, J.J. Nelson, Jacoby Ford. What do they have in common? They all ran the 40 in 4.2 seconds. Not a lot of success out of that group, but we continue to spend a lot of time talking about the 40-yard dash. Daniel Jeremiah, NFL Network analyst, Chargers radio color analyst, and his Moving the Sticks podcast with Bucky Brooks and Rhett Lewis, NFL Network providing live coverage from the Combine Thursday through Sunday. Why do we place so much emphasis still on the 40-yard dash?
Yeah, first of all, Dan, that was like announcing everyone who was not nominated for an Oscar there with that list of players. But look, it's still, to me, it's helpful for thresholds. You know, you want to see guys hit certain thresholds because there's a reason why you have the phrase outliers. Like most of the successful players at positions, and that's what I'll try and do during our coverage, is frame it with that perspective of most of the players that are successful, the top 10 receivers in receptions. These are what they average ran. This is what they average jumped. And you can kind of just see, okay, is this player that's on the line right now, is he kind of parking his car in the right neighborhood for those who've been successful?
I love the 10 yards. That to me, I think you can get a 10-yard time and see success at any position because it's so quick off the line. Your lineman, your linebacker, your edge rusher, your wide receiver, running back, I mean, all of that. But that's not glamorous because if somebody says, oh, what was your 10-yard time? It doesn't resonate where you go, damn, did you see how fast his 10-yard time was?
Yeah, I mean, look, for it is that way really in draft rooms when you're talking about linemen. When you're talking about offensive linemen, defensive linemen, for sure. I mean, that's the number. We don't really spend much time talking about the 40 on those big guys. We talk about that. You know, on corners, it matters. The 40 matters because you'll see guys who can get up to top speed quickly, but then they don't have that other gear, and you'll see receivers separate from them down the field. Same thing for wideouts. So there's value in the longer distance with those skill players. But for the linemen, absolutely. I mean, that's all you really focus on is the 10.
What is the number one topic in Indy?
The Bears. It's there's so many different layers to it, Dan. So normally you come into this thing and it's like, okay, this team has the first pick. They don't have a quarterback. Which one of these one, two or three guys are, you know, who are we talking about here? Who are they going to take? And now you have the Fields factor. You have the fact that they have the 9th pick as well. And just kind of how all that stuff works together. And that is going to have the trickle down effect on the rest of the draft. So, that's, you know, when you're walking around the street and you run into buddies and stuff, everybody wants to know what the heck those guys are going to do.
The Raiders GM, when asked about Davante Adams, said he's a Raider. When the Bears GM was asked about Justin Fields, he was like, we're open. We're not sure. Want to do right by Justin. If you want to commit to him, you can. And then the free-for-all begins for that number one overall pick.
Yeah.
Do you think they're moving on?
The same. I'm with you. I've been saying that from the very beginning. I felt like this was going to happen. They were going to move on. Now, I would say in terms of the odds, I feel like it's 80 to 90% they're going to stick at one and they're going to take Caleb Williams. And the other 10 to 20% is, okay, maybe they're comfortable with one of these other quarterbacks and they're comfortable maybe moving back within range to still get Justin Fields replacement. But I just, the way that it looked from the outside, and then I'm waiting for polls to say something that's going to change my mind, and that didn't happen at all with what he said, because you would come in there and say, Dan, look, we love Justin Fields, the strides that he's taken. I mean, for us to go in a different direction, we would have to be blown away to not stick with Justin because of how excited we are. That did not sound like that.
No,
yesterday.
No, it did not. It did not. I brought up the potential for a new kickoff, adopting the XFL model.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think the realistic possibility is of something like that too? You know, we had the biggest game of the year and there were no kickoff returns. What would you do if you're going to try to incorporate something to start a game instead of starting a game with the touchback?
Well, Dan, full transparency, I've spent a lot of time over the last several months watching the 330 guys here, And I haven't caught up on the XFL in a few years since it launched. So what is the XFL kickoff rule?
Okay, they're going to have you separated by 5 yards. So the kicking team is going to be at your 35. Your receiving linemen, all 10 guys, are going to be at the 30.
Okay.
They can't move until the ball is fielded.
Oh, interesting.
So no run-up whatsoever.
Yeah, you eliminate the runway.
Yes. What do you think?
I like that. I like that. And look, calling the Charger games, it's become time where, you kind of grab your water when they're kicking off and just make sure you're taken care of here and see what personnel group's going to trot out onto the field. So I would like to see it become a play again. It's impacted me just watching players, Dan. Like, I normally, when I watch the wideouts, and I'll go through and I'll look at their return yards, and I'll go, okay, I'm going to watch all their returns. And I'm like, why? Why am I spending my time evaluating these guys as kickoff returners? There's not really a kickoff return anymore.
Well, I wonder what we're going to do with the punt. Like, is the NFL going to somehow modify what you can do on a punt? Like, I don't know how far they're going to take this, but I do get concerned about that.
Yeah. No, look, that's interesting. Again, I didn't see the XFL, but I think that is kind of a fascinating kind of a way to combine things to make it more safe, but yet have it be a meaningful play. The punt thing, I don't know what the answer would be there.
He's Daniel Jeremiah, NFL Network analyst and Chargers radio color analyst. The quarterbacks who are going to show up, I don't know how many are going to go through drills, but that, could you be swayed with the medicals and, the interviewing portion more so than you see something on the field?
Yeah, the most powerful, tool that would impact your draft stock is what happens with the medical, because then it's not even, you don't even get to make the decision. I've been in the personnel room where we finished meetings, going into the combine, and I've seen the board and how we had it stacked up. And then you come back for the next round of meetings in first of April, and you go, what happened to Johnson? Johnson was all the way up there. Like, he's off. Like, the medical stuff, he got completely taken off of our board. So that's the most impactful thing that happens down here this week. And I would say, I was talking to a GM yesterday about the interviews, and he was saying how much can you get out of 15 minutes with a kid? And I said, well, I don't know that they can convince you of anything or sell you on anything, but I have been in there, and he admitted he had too, where some, and it's very rare, people disqualify themselves rather quickly in a 15-minute interview, but that's rare.
Okay, did you have any silly questions when you were doing these interviews?
My favorite one, I think I might have told you this before, but my favorite one was when we had Pac-Man Jones in, and we asked him, I didn't ask him, but somebody in the room, I hate the 1 to 10 questions, but somebody in the room asked him, how would you judge your hands on a scale of 1 to 10? And Pac-Man looked at his right hand and said 10, and then he looked at his left hand and said 10. He graded them individually, not collectively.
I like that. I like that. Where's your second tier? You draw the line with the three, Drake May, Jaden Daniels, and Caleb Williams, and then there's a drop-off?
Yeah, for me, yeah, there's a drop-off, then you get into the next three. So I feel like we have, kind of a three-man battle at the top, and then I think kind of a three-man battle for that next one with McCarthy, with Bo Nix, and with Penix. And so that's the cool thing about this. We won't see the top three guys out there throwing at the combine, but there's other competitions taking place. And to be honest with you, Dan, I don't know who would you rather be. Would you rather be one of those three teams competing to go to a team that's picking first, second, or third? Or would you rather be those other three who are going to get a chance to go to better rosters, less pressure, more players around you? Like that we could have an argument on whether that's the better option there.
Well, I think we've talked about it. I certainly have on the show that the reason why some quarterbacks are successful is they went a little bit later and went to a more established team. And the coach, look at Mahomes. If Mahomes goes to, Carolina or whoever, even this year, Patrick Mahomes in Carolina would not be Patrick Mahomes. He just wouldn't be. But you go, you got a Hall of Fame coach. They have some Hall of Fame talent on that team, and you put in his talent, and, that's when you're more successful. You're more successful sooner sometimes when you go a little bit later in the draft.
Yeah, continuity, man. It's everything for those guys. And like I get asked the question about Caleb Williams all the time is like, can he be maybe not Patrick Mahomes, but can he be like a Patrick Mahomes? Can he have, can he be that? I'm like, well, does he get to go sit behind Alex Smith for a year, get coached by Andy Reid for a year, and throw to Kelce and Tyreek Hill as he kind of gets his feet wet? I'd feel very confident in saying, yep, I'll stamp that one. That one's going to happen. But you don't know what type of environment these guys are going to go into.
Well, there's a reason why these teams are picking high, because they've had turnover. Maybe you don't have good ownership. Maybe, it's a new coach and offensive coordinator and, all of those things. Also, they got rid of the cognitive test after what happened to C.J. Stroud. Help me understand exactly, was this a smear campaign with C.J. Stroud? Was it leaked to embarrass him or have him drop? Is it strategy here?
I think that's given whoever leaked it too much credit. I think a lot of times what happens is there's a weird relationship between, coaches or even personnel who get access to this information, and they become friendly with reporters. And it's kind of, I'm not saying this is the motivation, but a lot of times it's, hey, you're kind of helping me with, contacts and helping me get my name out there and helping me. Hey, let me give you a little something. How about this? Can you believe this? This kid got such and such on a test. And it's kind of just like a trade of information there. I don't think there was anything that was, we're going to try and get him to fall in our lap and he's going to drop in the draft. I think it was something probably like that.
Well, considering how C.J. Stroud performed, maybe we reconsider that test. I know some agencies have said we're not going to have our players take it. And I feel bad. Even the Wonderlic. I wouldn't take the Wonderlic, and I wouldn't take the cognitive test, because not everything is shared. So it's not going to be private. And then all of a sudden, you're going to be the guy who got a 9 on the Wonderlic. You can't play football, or, your cognitive test was really low. You can't play quarterback. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I understand the player's side of this.
So I used to have to, at pro days, when you're scouting, you carry in your backpack a stack of Wonderlic tests, and the guys that hadn't taken them or hadn't been to the combine or at the pro day, you'd have to administer the test. So I come home from a pro day, and I put my bag on the table, and I kind of clean out my backpack, and these tests are on the table. My wife goes, "What's that?" And I go, "Oh, this is the Wonderlic test." I said, "I'll tell you what, you sit down with a 12-minute test, you take it first, and then I'll take it after you take it." So my wife takes it, and she gets like a 37 or a 38, which is a really high score. I go, "Hey, that's great." She goes, "Okay, your turn." I go, "No chance." I said, "I've spent my whole life thinking you're smarter than me. I don't want it to be concretely proven." Didn't take it. Not happening.
Yeah.
So I didn't want to share that information with my significant other. I can imagine how other people must feel when it gets public.
Okay, but does it really translate into anything when you're asking me these questions? Like, give me a for instance question.
A lot of times it can be like the simple, if you're leaving, this city at this time and you're going 60 miles an hour, 2 hours from now, that type of stuff. I don't know. I've never been a huge believer in that. I've been on teams where some of our lowest scores on that, because it would be on their draft card, or, they have gold jackets hanging in their closet right now. So I never bought into that, but I think people, Dan, and whether it's the cognitive tests, or whether it's a metric, whether it's the GPS data that we get now, whether it's a stat that these guys have, everybody's trying to find like what's the code here? What's the cheat code for how we figure these players out? And it turns out there isn't one, man. It's not a science. There is not one data point. There's not one question you get an answer and you're going to know who these guys are. It's a flip of the coin sometimes, man. It's difficult to figure out, and I think people have tried to find a shortcut, and there isn't one.
I go back to when I was told about a quarterback, and this was an equipment manager, and he said, "Wait till you get a load of this guy." And I go, "What do you mean?" He goes, "Doesn't put in the time, doesn't put in the effort, and wasn't well-liked, and he's going to go high in the draft." And then I immediately thought, I wonder how often people do background checks from the standpoint of, the equipment guy, team manager, any of those things. And I know that it puts them in a tough spot, but you do want to find out about this guy somehow, some way. Hey, do your teammates like you? Like, it seems so simple. Your teammates like you. And in this case, he proved to be correct in what he was saying about this player, who didn't turn out to be a successful quarterback in the NFL.
Yeah, I've always found like these combine interviews, I would learn more about their teammates than I would about them individually, because they're going to have all their canned answers. They've been training. They've had people telling them what to say to all these questions. But when you have a kid in from Texas and you say, hey, any of your teammates say anything at halftime when you were down, you know, by two touchdowns in this particular game, any of your teammates say, oh, gosh, the linebacker, you know, Smith came in and he was, you know, getting in everybody's face and got us going and blah, 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 blah. And I've learned more about his teammate than I did about him in that 15 minutes.
Great to talk to you. Have fun there. And we'll talk to you soon.
I'm going to stress it 10 times this year, Dan.
I like it. I like it. Thank you, buddy. Daniel Jeremiah, NFL Network analyst. Rich Eisen has the 40. I'm going to do the 10.
Oh, you got to start preparing, though.
No, I don't.
Can you? I mean, I would tap out at 8, probably. I wouldn't make it.
Well, I'm going to coast. Right. Like, I'm going to do like Usain Bolt, where he looks over his shoulder. When I get to 8 yards, I'm going to be like, yeah, where are you? I'm going to do the 10-yard dash. Take a break. Back after this.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
As you may have realized, I watch a lot of sports, like a lot. That's why I like Prime Video. It has all my live sports and docs in one app, like Giannis, The Marvelous Journey, and the National Women's Soccer League, both included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report sports add-on, or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. All in one app with one password. Prime Video. It's all your favorite sports in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
It is getting that time of the year. It's Miller time. You don't need a watch or a clock to tell you. It's Miller time. Weather gets a little bit warmer. All of a sudden, the beer gets a little colder.
It's beer cracking season.
Okay. I don't know if it says that on the calendar. It's a beer that strips away everything you don't need and holds on to what matters the most. It's a light beer that tastes like beer. That's why I reach for a Miller Lite. And it's less filling, only 96 calories. They've been doing this since 1975. They have perfected it. You know, that summer afternoon, we're coming into that time of the year, be like, oh, man.
Crack one?
Yes, or two. Don't look at your watch. Don't look at the clock. Don't look at the calendar. You know. Miller Lite, the great taste, less filling, tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Patrick, or you can pretty much find it anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories, fewer carbs than premium regular beer. Miller Lite. He's one of the great receivers in Chicago Bear history, but I don't know if that's saying a lot. I don't even know if they have a top 10 great receivers of all time in Chicago Bear history. He's Tom Waddle, current host of Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000. Of all the introductions you've had, where does that one rank, Tom?
That's the most honest and accurate, Dan. There's no doubt. Brandon Marshall once famously said Chicago's a place where receivers go to die.
Yeah. Well, so, given that scenario here with what you have on the roster, if Caleb Williams looks at the Bears right now, what would he want to go to the Bears, given what they have? Yes?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, let's look at an improved offensive roster. DJ Moore is a true one in the league. He may not be a top five receiver, but he's a top 10 receiver in the league, in my opinion. You're getting more out of Cole Kmet than they've gotten in the past. They've got draft currency. They've got cap space. They've got a lot of ways to improve themselves inside that offensive huddle. The offensive line has improved. And outside of the actual, you know, huddle, I think, Dan, if you research the history of the quarterback position here in Chicago, there have been some blips, some positive blips. But we've never had a 4,000-yard passer. We've never had a quarterback throw for 30 touchdowns in a season. If Caleb Williams or Drake May or Jaden Daniels or whoever that guy is comes to this town and becomes the first guy to do some of that and become a true legitimate franchise quarterback, that guy may be the second most popular sports figure in the history of this city behind MJ.
Yeah, but didn't I hear that 4 years ago with Justin Fields?
Yes, you did. Okay. And we're going to say it again until it actually becomes reality. We are going to speak it into reality, Dan.
You spoke to the Bears GM yesterday.
Yeah.
What is Ryan Poles saying or not saying?
I think the one thing, there are a lot of things I respect about Ryan. I think Ryan's done a really nice job in a short period of time improving this roster in a lot of ways. Has it been perfect? No. The Chase Claypool trade was something that didn't work out. There have been other small issues, but for the most part, I think Ryan's done a fantastic job. He's been very honest. I think he's been very professional. I think the things that I cling to from what he said yesterday, first and foremost, were that they're going to do right by Justin. And that tells me, Dan, I don't think you start talking about doing your quarterback right by handling the situation with being professional and being honest about it. I think that's the right way to do it. But you don't even, I don't believe, go down that avenue if you're going to go forward with him. So I think it was kind of a telling, to me, a telling conversation.
Yeah, but if you want to do right by Justin Fields, you keep him and you pay him. They're not going to do right by Justin Fields.
Well, Dan, I think doing right by Justin is if you've made the decision. And he talked about, Ryan also talked about a lot of, no one wants to live in the gray. No one wants to live in between. I think there's more gray with regard to where they could trade Justin and teams that would be willing to dance with them versus where Ryan Poles is with regard to his decision with the number one overall selection. So with that, if they've made that determination, then doing Justin right means making a deal sooner rather than later. It works for everyone. It's better for the Bears. It's better for the team that would dance with you. And it's better for Justin to make that deal sooner rather than later. And I think when he references doing right by Justin, he's talking about handling this with a professional approach and keeping him in the loop at all times. I don't think, you know, I the only thing I would push back on, being professional doesn't necessarily mean that you cave to making him your guy going forward and paying him. I would say be honest with him and keep him in the loop.
Yeah, Ryan Poles has to do what's best for the Bears, not what's best for Justin Fields. This isn't a situation where Bill Belichick hand-delivered Jimmy G to the Niners because he didn't want Jimmy G to go to Cleveland.
Right.
It's rare when a coach or GM or owner does something like that. But if you're Ryan Poles, you didn't draft this guy. Your job is attached to the next decision you make.
Yes.
I'll do right by Justin, but I'm doing right by the Chicago Bears.
Dan, I think there, in a lot of ways, this is a unique situation. How many times does the team with the number one overall selection have a 7-win season the year before? Like, usually that guy's going to a team that's had 2 or 3 wins.
Sure.
So, if the Bears had the 10th overall selection, our conversation isn't about where we're trading Justin Fields. Our conversation's about whether or not they're picking the fifth-year option up and how are you going to improve around him. I think Justin is unfortunately a victim of circumstance right now. I think Justin's a good quarterback. I don't think he's an upper echelon quarterback, and he's got room to grow. But this, to me, is a conversation because of the luxury the Bears have with the first overall selection. And if that's Caleb Williams or whoever it is, that guy is coming into a situation where there is some infrastructure. There is some foundation that is being built. And there are other assets that can be deployed to make that guy's transition from college to the NFL a lot smoother than a lot of other ones.
Talking to Tom Waddle, former Bear wide receiver, current host of Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN.
Mediocre Bears receiver.
Mm-hmm. Well, you played.
Well, that's true.
You played. Fan favorite.
Well, that's because most of them were faster than me, bigger than me, and yes. stronger than me, and they saw themselves in
me. Let's say there wasn't Caleb Williams, Drake May, and Jaden Daniels in this draft. What do the Bears do?
That's a great question. I don't know how they would feel about maybe J.J. McCarthy or Bo Nix or Michael Penix. I don't believe they'd be willing to you know, use the first overall selection. They would move. Like they would. I think they would move out of this pick. I think this is unique because they have that first overall selection. By the way, for the second consecutive year.
Yeah.
And many have, you know, looked back at what transpired last year and said, wow, did Ryan make a mistake there by not using the first overall selection, not on Bryce Young, but on C.J. Stroud with the way he played. I'm not in that camp. I think he made the right decision. They were still evaluating Justin, and he needed to rebuild the roster with all of the picks he got in return. But if there wasn't a quarterback that this staff believed was, I won't use the term generational, but a guy that can get you further along than where the current guy can get you, I think they definitely move out of the pick and they try to bolster the roster around the QB.
All right, I'll leave you with this. What should happen? What will happen?
I think what should happen and what will happen will coincide. I think they should. I have a lot of respect for Justin. He's a good young kid. He's a hard worker. He's a good athlete. He's a good teammate. He's been dealt a bad hand. As I said, I think he's a victim of circumstance, but I don't think he's been good enough consistently enough to move forward with him. So I think they will trade him. And I do believe that they will use the first overall selection on Caleb Williams. I think at this point, my guess is that they're very comfortable with who he is as a QB on the field. They've just got to make sure that they're comfortable with who he is off the field. And I think that process is ongoing.
He's one of the best white wide receivers out of Boston College to play for the Bears.
Whoa, time out. Brian Brennan was a much better wide receiver than I was, who also fits that narrative.
Okay, all right. The second best white wide receiver to play for the Bears out of Boston College.
Well, that's maybe they played for the Bears, yes, because Brian played for Cleveland and Cincinnati. So maybe I jumped the gun there. Okay. But yeah, I think your criteria works. All right.
Keep your head up.
Thanks.
You know, most people, when they do a Zoom call, they have all kinds of awards in the background and trophies in the background.
Well, I don't have any awards or trophies. This is not a flex, Dan. What am I going to flex? I wore my Bears alumni pullover is what I did for you.
Yeah, that's great. Thank you. Great to talk to you, buddy. Tell Sylvie we said hello.
You got it. Thanks, guys.
And that's Tom Waddle, former Bear and current host of Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000. Very popular there. Let's see. We'll get some phone calls. What?
We were just discussing Tom Waddle. He kind of ran like his name sounded.
He waddled?
Yeah, he wasn't the fast. He was a very popular player.
Yeah, he was.
Tommy Waddle.
Yeah, Tommy Waddle. I think he was played at Moeller High School.
Sure.
Cincinnati. Yeah, big Moeller High School.
Tom. That's a football powerhouse.
And that
right?
used to be. It used to be a powerhouse. Jerry Faust.
Oh.
He coached there.
Didn't he go right from that school to coaching Notre Dame?
Yeah.
Golly, that must have been a big deal.
Yeah, it was a bad deal.
Yeah.
Yeah, he wasn't ready for it. I think Moeller at the time had 17 assistant coaches when he was there.
Can you imagine that happening today? Any level of high school, a guy going to the premier? You know, like if Alabama replaced Nick Saban with Jimmy Lipper from Central College.
From Hoover High. Alabama.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, probably.
That's what it's akin to, right?
Probably so, but he, you know, there were players from Moeller went to Notre Dame, and I, you know, but still to make that jump from Moeller to Notre Dame, I don't know how long Jerry lasted there, but it didn't go well.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
With the new Dexcom G7, you can achieve better diabetes results without painful fingersticks. It sends your glucose numbers to your compatible phone or watch so you can always see where you are and where you're heading. See how food and exercise affects your glucose, making it easier to spend more time in range and lower your A1C. Take more control of your diabetes with the number one recommended CGM brand. It's easy to get started today at Dexcom.com. That's Dexcom.com.
Dexcom data on file 2023. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G7 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions. For a list of compatible devices, visit Dexcom.com/compatibility.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.